Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour, more or less, to turn a humble idea into a pitch for a show or a movie. I am your somewhat reticent and terrified host, Freddie Wong.
Oh, I'm Will Campbell's. I'm a screenwriter.
God, no.
Boy, oh boy, Freddie.
No.
I can't wait to do this episode.
No, God.
Gook.
Oh,
hey,
God,
Will,
no.
It's me.
She's two multiples.
Other
Jesus.
Will Campos, the other screenwriter.
Oh, Freddie, you just gotta get your mind in it and believe in yourself. What about you? This person's saying from me. Matt, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Who are you, Matt?
You guys are such noobs. My name's Matt Arnold. I'm a member of Organization 13, first and foremost.
God.
Second, writer and director. Third.
Too many numbers in your intro.
I'm heartless. Or maybe a nothing.
Is that Kanye West?
Guys, I think the real meaning of Story Break is light and the power of friendship. Because today we're doing Kingdom Hearts. We're going on an epic journey.
The Mount Everest of story.
We're on an epic journey into the most dense and incomprehensible lore of all time to render for you an epic movie of epicness.
So Matt worked at Disney after we graduated. I was at Fox doing bad video games. Matt was at Disney doing bad video games. Can you explain how this possibly got made?
No, all I know is that Disney Interactive was not allowed to touch Kingdom Hearts. It was very much its own thing when I was there.
Probably explains why it's good.
Yeah, it was good.
Matt, why don't you start by explaining to my mom what Kingdom Hearts is?
Okay.
And for all moms out there, a little musical accompaniment.
All right, Mrs. Campos. First and foremost, I just want to say Will's just been a great boy recently. He's been very kind. You raised him very well. All right, so Mrs. Campos, Kingdom Hearts is, I think we all remember what it was like to love Disneyland and want to go to Disneyland. You want to see all the different characters. You want to see all your favorite princesses. Kingdom Hearts is essentially a video game that taps into that. It is a story of these three young kids that are abandoned on an island, and they're looking to seek, you know, they're trying to find adventure in the bigger world, and the adventure leads them through the worlds of Disney. And what they're doing is they're trying to stop darkness from overwhelming the hearts of humanity, instead spread the light and kindness of Disney and goodwill towards all men and women, and they're just trying to, you know, find Mickey and save his best friends while going through the different lands of Disney.
Now, I'm going to just go ahead and ask for my mom. What's with the... Why is there, like, a spiky-haired boy? And what's with, like, all the... There seems to be a lot of... My son watches these Japanimations on Toonami, and a lot of the characters remind me of those. And he seems to recognize some of them. So what's that about?
So, I was trying not to overwhelm you with so much stuff
well,
at once.
Matt,
Mrs. Campos,
I'm a 60-year-old former law librarian. I think I can handle
so,
a little bit of fucking information.
So here,
but way to talk down to me.
No. So here... Because... And the other twist is the children are not, you know, in the same way that all the characters are from Disney, the children that you play and a lot of the other characters also come from another, you know, maybe just as famous franchise for some of us, Final Fantasy, mm-hmm. which is a popular video game series in Japan. And, yeah.
Okay, well,
all right.
So thanks, Matt. For explaining that to my mom. Thanks
that
to
been,
Joan Baez on guitar for stopping by the studio.
That's been a segment on our podcast we call Matt Explains Things to Moms.
Matt Explains Things to Moms.
So let's put ourselves on an hour here.
Okay.
Get ourselves a real hour.
A real hour.
A proper hour.
So look, I think one of the things
Hold on, Matt. Okay. I'm going to get the stopwatch app. Don't jump the gun. Ready?
Yes.
Go.
So the person who, I think the only one who's played any Kingdom Hearts. Well, did he play any? Even
I
on
dabbled in Kingdom okay. Hearts as a wee lad.
I didn't inhale.
I did not inhale Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts is one of those rare games that my wife really likes watching me play. She's a big Disney fan, and she found herself really enjoying
and
the
games. Giant weeb.
And a giant weeb. And so I've played quite a bit, but I will say it is... Okay, so this game franchise is notorious for its absurd lore,
mm-hmm.
and that is 100% true. I will say that when I was thinking about playing them, because the third one was coming out, I was like, oh, maybe Ashley will enjoy watching it like a Disney game. All I remember is this. I went onto the Reddit, and I said, hey, there's this new Kingdom Hearts coming out. It's called Kingdom Hearts 2.8 something or another.
HD Remix plus 2.5.
And I was like, just a, you know, as a noob, just a quick suggestion, which Kingdom Hearts should I start with? Kingdom Hearts 1, 1.5, 2, 3, 358 over 2 days, or Birth by Sleep, or Dream Drop
Distance?
And they responded with
go fuck yourself. Start with number one, obviously. And then, like, it's just like, there is also this arrogance in the group. So I will say this. We're not going to be accurate to this lore. And if you're a big Kingdom Hearts lore fan who's not just in it for the Disney shit, you may not like this episode.
Oh, you're definitely not going
to
like this episode.
I'm not into the rest of
By the way,
shit.
I believe the game. So yes, it starts as my sort of like cursory impression of the Kingdom Hearts world is that it starts out like a pretty. It's like an Arnold Palmer that slowly goes from being an Arnold Palmer to being a lemonade with a little bit of iced tea in it. Because it's like it starts as like pretty 50-50 Disney stuff with like the plot structure of like a JRPG.
Yeah.
And then it just seems like the game just gets crazier and crazier with its story.
It's the big games. Kingdom Hearts 1 and Kingdom Hearts 2 are like the mainstream big PlayStation games. And those pretty much follow that. I mean, Kingdom Hearts 2 gets pretty bonkers story-wise, but they more or less stick with you're a bunch of kids and you go into Disney worlds and yes, there's some Final Fantasy characters. When you get into that PSP game and the Dreamcast, I mean the DS, you start getting into some wild, like, it's 4 hours and I've not seen a Disney character. And I'm talking to Xehanort while I'm, like, discovering that I'm not Sora, I'm actually Xanos, or I'm actually Kanos, who's, like, Zora spelled backwards with an X, actually, like, this is all an imagination world. It gets very
Was
weird.
That in Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, or in Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days?
That was in Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days.
All right. By the way, Will, I thought your analogy was that Kingdom Hearts starts out as like an Arnold Palmer and then slowly over time morphs into a glass of turpentine.
Okay, but here's the core of, and I think why Kingdom Hearts is popular is why I think obviously it taps into the idea of literally they make going through Disney movies an adventure. And that's fun. I mean, that's like, right, that's half the fun when you're a kid and you go to Disneyland.
Also,
it's not just going from ride to ride. It's like you're in Adventureland and then you walk into Tomorrowland and it's all that.
So if I remember correctly, so it's like you got these three kids. It's Sora, and then who are the other two?
There's Sora, Kairu, and
Kira.
Kira. Wait,
Kiru.
Kira. Kairu.
Soru.
Oh boy, here
Jesus.
We go.
Sora.
This is okay. So here's what's really bad is that
Kairi, because you're saying words. You are saying her name.
Trying to confuse.
No, I'm not.
There's Sora, Kairi, and Riku are the
Sora,
three.
Sora, Kairi. So, I was gonna say though is that we are in a bit of trouble because Matt is the lore master on this episode, but Matt is also the worst person at pronouncing and keeping track of names that I've ever met. So,
but that's why I was trying to keep it simple. I think.
So, okay, tell me about these characters.
Okay, so yes, I think the core is you have these three characters. You have Sora, Kairi, and Riku. And they're on like an abandoned island. There's some other kids or whatever. But
grew up there?
So it's like, it's kind of like, think about it. The best way to probably explain it is kind of where the wild things are. It's like all the kids have a story where they like left their beds or went somewhere and now they're kind of on this island.
Okay.
So it's kind of like imaginary, but it's real. And I mean, it's a real place, but it definitely has that kind of pseudo.
No parents.
It's like kids lost on a tropical island. Because the world is split into multiple universes, and this universe is just an island, and these kids are stuck there.
Man, talk about picking the weird one.
So it's a lot of Luke Skywalker scenes of like looking out across the ocean, and be like, you know, somebody
else.
What else is out there?
Did we get here?
So the three main characters are Riku is the oldest. He's like the cool older kid. He's kind of like the boss of
the Lost Boys, essentially. Okay.
And so you literally start like the game starts with you like trying to beat him in like foot races and stuff like that. So they set up this dynamic of like Sora's the cool kid, plucky kid who's your main character, and Riku's the cooler, older, kind of mentor figure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then Kairi is like the heart of the group and kind of like a love interest with Sora and Riku. And it's like Kairi definitely represents kind of like the consciousness and like kind of like the good heart, because like if you know we were looking at the lore, like it gets to a point where Sora kind of embraces his darkness to try to save the day, and he's literally brought out of the darkness by like Kairi still hugging him even though he's become like this like monster. So she is kind of like the good person in the group and the one who is like most fighting.
And like how
good.
Old are they?
Sora's kind of like just an adventure.
So it is like a Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia
pretty much
dynamic.
Yeah, well, it has that dynamic.
How old are they?
They probably have, like I feel
think
like
it
Riku
says
feels,
he's 14.
Yeah,
like
Riku kind of feels like a 16-year-old.
Okay,
they're teens.
Riku feels like he's definitely got a driver's license. Maybe pops off some cigos at the corner store.
So when they, I don't even know how.
How do they get off the island?
I'm trying to think of how, because a lot of the first game is just like being like, when the fuck do I get off this island and see Disney stuff? And then it just happens. But it's like there's an attack or something, and then they get split up.
There's like a bunch of little shadow things just decide to attack them.
So the whole thing is like, so what Kingdom Hearts, which I think is more like, what
is a Kingdom Heart?
I will say it took me like 3 games and I still didn't know, and I had to read on Wikipedia.
But why did we do this?
But no. So Kingdom Hearts is like, again, this is very I think this is like where you get into the difference with like kind of a lot of like Eastern storytelling and Western storytelling. Like, we have a lot of like empires and alliances, and like kind of there's a lot of like Gaia and like that naturalistic kind of like God force. Like, Kingdom Hearts is essentially good. Kingdom Hearts is all the goodness in the world is in this moon that's shaped literally like a heart that is light and wisdom and goodness. It's like a moon. And then back in the day, bad guys went to destroy it, and everybody thought it was gone and consumed, but it's still protected. It's just like in the world of darkness, and this game is about you trying to retrieve it.
But it isn't like an actual celestial object in the universe, or is it like...
Yes, it is like, when it's out, it is like an actual moon.
So like
it's
in the sky. So like, they're on the island, it's like, and they look up and there's giant heart-shaped thing. Like, yes. What the hell is that? Like, do they know that's Kingdom Hearts?
Yes, they know that's Kingdom Hearts. And the second game, rather than trying to...
It's a moon shaped like a heart.
Yes.
That's called Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
Not like...
Not Moon Heart, not Heart
not
of the Moon.
Heart Moon.
Nope, it's called Kingdom Hearts.
Okay,
all right, I'm with you.
In the second game, for example, like rather than try to get the Kingdom Hearts out of the world of darkness, the bad guys try to go and like consume, which was a pretty good bad guy story. The bad guys go and they consume goodness from people, and they're trying to make their own Kingdom Hearts. Like, they're literally sucking people's goodness out, and they're going to be like,
so they want to make another.
They're going to make like an artificial
bigger moon.
But you can't do that because it's with the wrong intentions. Kingdom Hearts pure. You can't do it for the wrong reason.
Actually, in the third game, because Disney World is in Florida, they head down to Cape Canaveral and they get on a spaceship and they blast off to the moon, right?
Yeah. No?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. That's okay. All right. So then, how does the Disney universes tie into all of this?
Loosely. Thematically, let's say Kingdom Hearts is the thing that keeps the world together. Once it was sent into darkness, the world fractured.
What is the darkness that it gets sent into, Matt?
The darkness.
Just like
it's called the darkness.
Just like bad shit.
So the moon in the sky, the heart-shaped moon, is enveloped by a darkness?
Look, if you want to call it like God and hell or whatever it is to make it easier, but it's like Kingdom Hearts, like think about goodness and wisdom and light is the thing that keeps the world
together. The light, the dark side
of the force. Bad guys tried to destroy Kingdom Hearts, and it got sent into darkness. So, like, literally heaven was consumed by hell, but it's still protected. Everybody thinks it's gone, but it's actually still in there, protected. It's like an egg bubble. It's in a little bubble.
Okay.
And nobody knows where it is.
So,
but because it disappeared, the world has fractured.
Heaven is a moon shaped like a heart called Kingdom Hearts that's in a bubble surrounded by hell.
Yes. Exactly.
With
and
you.
Then
I'm
because of that, the world got the world became unstable in all the different dimensions. Like, the world kind of cracked into worlds.
So
the world's in kind of chaos.
Yeah. Another question just for the Disney things. When do you are those Disney characters, like, are they cognizant of like their Disney-ness? Is like,
very do that much mean so?
No, but I mean, like, because like, there's
no,
like,
I mean, they don't say hi. We're from the Walt Disney movie.
No, but like, have they lived out their movies? Right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is
oftentimes, especially in the first game, you're essentially you're like doing weird like abridged versions of.
Okay, so the events of the movies either have happened or kind of are in the process of. They're just kind of in the universe of those movies to kind of drop. Okay, I get it. Okay,
but so when you're essentially is that Riku and Kai? So like the core thrust of the game. Is Riku and Kairi are lost in this big event.
What event? What are you
talking about? Just like us, Will. We are lost in this giant retelling.
So if the bad guys... this is like... It's probably so wrong.
All right. Matt. Can I just approach this from a couple... Okay. So the game starts...
Yes.
...with these three kids on Purgatory... Destiny Island.
Purgatory Island.
They're in weird Destiny Island, and they're going to build a raft... to go see what else is out there, right?
Yes.
And then what happens?
There is kind of like an Alice in Wonderland moment. There's a part in the island which they like kind of think is a portal. Mm-hmm. And Sora finally like opens it out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens up their little piece of the world to the outside world. So now light, darkness and stuff invades and comes in. Okay. It's like all these fractures of the world are like barely held together, and they have like portals. Like, right, just like think about like time, you know, it's like a weak spot in, you know.
Yeah, a little bit like a Golden Compass.
Or Fringe or any number of things.
Sure.
It's like
Okay.
So it opens up, they all get sucked into like the darkness, and and Sora appears in Traveler's Town, which is just one of the worlds, by himself, and he doesn't know where Riku and Kairi are.
Okay, and if I remember correctly, like in the little video we saw, then like Riku like got goobered because he turns into a bad guy at some point or something.
So all that starts happening, but the main core is that you are Sora and you're looking for your two best friends.
Okay,
and then you meet up with the lovable Goofy and Donald, mm-hmm. who are looking for Mickey. Because Mickey's gone, and nobody knows where he went.
It's like
and
they're looking Ricky for is, their friend.
And Mickey's like the one who knows. He's like, you know what? Mickey's like, I think Kingdom Hearts is out there. I think it's in the darkness. I think I can go find it. So Mickey's like out there doing the big shit. He's like, I'm going to fucking save this stuff. Whereas Sora's just looking for his two best friends. And then at the end of the first game, it all comes together.
Okay.
And
okay.
then their journey becomes
so you have
becomes
a parallel story to, okay. All right.
By the way, of course, Mickey's a little covetous, like, son of a, like.
No, he wants to save the world.
Yeah, think about this in kind of like in anime terms, right? Which Will was saying, like, maybe this should be a TV show. We haven't done a TV show in a long time. I think there's some wisdom to that because it's, what you really get down to is like, yes, you have this overall theme of like, and I would say probably pretty quickly you get him and Kairi together and it's about finding Riku because the fun of that is like he's looking for his best friend.
And to be clear, Riku is the
older one.
And Han Solo.
Kairi is
Princess Leia. But not brother, sister with Luke.
So do they ever get together or is it like a will they won't they for the whole thing?
No, it's not will they won't they. I don't know if they, no.
They hug pretty hard.
Yeah, they like.
I'm just saying if someone hugged me out of being like, you know, from the shadow dimension, someone hugged me out, I'm definitely
going. That's third
first,
base.
That's yeah. third base. That's yeah. third
that's
base
third
in Kingdom
base
Hearts
in a JRPG. First base is you use a potion on them. Second base is Phoenix down.
Yeah,
third
yeah.
base is you hug their soul back from the hell worm.
The fun of it.
Fourth base is you go on a first date after you spam
yeah,
them
yeah,
with
yeah,
the flowers.
True. And we're not playing baseball outfit. Anymore. It's okay. some kind of weird, yeah.
You
spam them flowers?
Home run as you go with Barrett on the Golden Saucer. All right. Just give me this. This is why, I thought TV show more than
yeah, it is
movie.
It is pretty
right, but get, okay,
crazy.
Just,
yeah.
Okay, so you got this. All right, so it's like, you know, your intro's like, hey, guys, my name's Sora. I'm a teen who woke up on Mystery Island and I don't know why I'm here. I want to go out and see what else is out there. I, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'm Riku. I'm the cool badass. Hi, I'm Kier. What is it?
Kairi.
I'm
yeah,
I'm,
how's Kairi's character defined here,
I'm the moral
here,
compass.
Yeah,
and
she's pretty boring.
So then this thing happens. Sora opens the portal in the middle of the world. Here's what I would say.
It's a mistake, right? It's a mistake.
It seems like what's good is that these kids don't know what the fuck is going on any more than me and Freddy
yep,
do,
right? Exactly.
Yes.
So they don't know either. So they're as lost as the audience is. They're like, why am I a JRPG character? I thought this was a Disney game. He's looking for his friend. He gets sucked through the portal maybe your second episode, he finds
it. The thing that I think is charming about the game is like, I would think about it in terms of this island, this purgatory is less like a purgatory than it is like innocence of childhood.
It's
right?
Eden.
Yes, it's just kids being innocent on an island. And because their choice, I was trying to clarify, like, what was the reasoning? It's like, they've always thought about journeying away from this island, mm-hmm. but they were scared of it. And, like, again, they've just been thinking about what, and they literally Sora chooses to take the step. They're like, let's go see what other worlds look like.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, literally, let's take a step into adulthood. And then they open up the portal, and then the first thing that happens is they open up the portal not realizing the outside world is crazy
and
chaotic and dark, and they're all split up as they get sucked into different worlds.
And then
he learns along the way what it means, like he literally grows up throughout
the
games.
Right.
Like he's learning.
No, there's a journey
and, the,
there,
and if
sure.
Disney stories are fables and fairy tales that tell lessons to kids, you're essentially going through, right?
Well, this is what feels like
the
this.
Lessons.
If I were to pitch this, I would say this is a la, what was the one, the Disney show?
Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time. And like every so often, be like, hey, Once Upon a Time's doing Frozen. Hey, Once Upon a Time's doing this.
Oh, that's
that.
Right. This is similar.
Yeah,
that.
It's kind of like that, where essentially you've got your kids who are, you've got your main characters who are journeying, and then every episode is a different Disney thingamajig because you're in this multiverse, right? And since Disney owns everything now, you could even do like a, oh shit, they're going to Star Wars. They're going to Marvel.
Now, the real question is, what is the Keyblade?
Oh, yeah, God, we're right. 20 that's... minutes in. We haven't even gotten to the key. So the Keyblade, so Sora has a big sword.
Have you ever seen, like, cosplayers of the thing? This is, like, the central iconography of the game, right? Like, you got a thing that's a sword and a key. Yeah. What is it with, let's just back up for a second. Square Enix, can we talk to you about the idea of, like, what is it with you wanting to combine swords and other things? Like, we got the Gunblade in Final Fantasy VIII, and even at that time, I was like, Will, could you imagine stabbing, like, a bad guy and then shooting him? Like,
but see, keys,
this is great.
Keys can be used to open up doors or close them. It's like they can be used to open up hearts
or to lock them away.
Or lock them away.
And the sword, so they can also be used to stab and kill you.
It can
you.
Also do 30 damage.
here's the tough thing about Kingdom Hearts is like I feel like I'd be in a better spot if I just played the first game, but the more you play, the more confusing the game gets.
Just like real life.
Because I'm like, yeah, because I was about to say, like, that makes sense. The Keyblade is just the thing that consumes heart, but then I'm like, yeah, but then in like Dream Drop Distance, it's like they were made out of
in what?
In Dream Drop Distance, they were made by like
is that a game or is that like a new album by an EDM artist? I think it's
the Dream Theater.
The TS game. It's like, oh yeah, but then it's like there's only certain people that can wield Keyblades, and then they're made from souls, and then like there's like a. By the way, like in order to get Tron, there's like a computer that like Mickey runs that like runs all the world.
Wait, they go to Tron?
Oh yeah, they go to Tron.
What?
My favorite part about
they go into a computer dimension?
Yes, they go inside the computer.
All right, let me just see if I can sum this up, our progress so far.
Progress is generous.
This
but
is
sure.
Story Break. This episode is just Story Understand, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to try to understand
Kingdom Hearts.
Okay, so we're, all right, in this world of this story, there's light and there's darkness, and then at some point in the past, bad guys took over Kingdom Heart Moon and turn it into a bubble in hell, and then that fractured the world into a bunch of different multi-worlds.
Yeah, fucked up the balance.
Okay, that fucked up everything. Heaven's in a bubble. All right, the world is all fractured. And that's like your prologue. That's like, you know, before, we don't know that yet. But we start, and we're with these kids in this Eden-esque place, and they're like, we want to see what else is out there. And then there's a portal in the middle of the town?
Look, think of this like Lost, not Lord of the Rings. There's no way... One, the lore is dumb. You're not going to do a prologue that... If you did a prologue that explained this, be like, now let's jump in the game.
Not saying we're going to do a prologue. I'm not...
I think the story... So if we're talking about this as a season. Then it's like season two, we'll explain more of the story as it goes on. It is a kid with Goofy and Donald journeying across different...
Yeah. Disney IPs.
Journeying across different dimensions in order to find... his best friends and Mickey.
Yeah.
And Mickey, the part of the mystery is nobody knows why Mickey left. It's kind of like The Witcher, any number of things where all these worlds are realizing, like, these worlds have been separated for a long time. It's just given now. Okay. Everybody's accepted. It's not like people are like, remember back in the day when the worlds were connected? It's been forever.
So they don't again, like do they Dark know Tower. That they used to be.
They yeah, know that's it's
my
vague.
That was my question.
Yeah, it's vague. You kind of understand. So they like see when, the bubble on the so outside
when,
world. But
so when Sora shows up, does Belle be like, ah, yes, this is not weird? Like, does Belle understand, hey, yo, something's up with the world?
They ask, like, where are you from? They're like, I'm from a different world. Like, oh, I've heard. And I've heard there's other worlds out there.
I see. Okay.
And it's, so what's happening, it's kind of like Witcher or anything. It's like, there's an increase in darkness. Like, every place they go, they're like, everything was fine here in Tarzan world, but now all the monkeys are going crazy. It's like these little darkness creatures are coming. You know what that's about? And they're like, and you start realizing, maybe that's what Mickey went to go do. Mickey was like, what's going on? The worlds, the kind of like the walls between worlds are thinning and breaking, and darkness is going everywhere. There must be something up. And eventually you find out that it is like there's this organization that's trying to do all this shit. But I think your first story is about finding Mickey. The core is going to be Sora, which you don't know why. And I don't even know if they tell you in the first game outside of like you are a good person. Is Sora's granted with the ability to use the Keyblade? He appears in Traveler's Town. There's a Keyblade in his hand. He doesn't know what it is. He tries to throw it away. It comes back in his hand.
So he just, okay.
He
so,
tries to get an Excalibur.
He's okay. There's a port. There's like a thing. What is this thing in the middle of his island that he.
It's like a crack.
It's a doorway. It's a doorway. Right? Like, and it's literally like a cave, and there's a doorway with like ancient paintings on it.
Okay. So he gets curious and he goes into this cave.
It's
and
the hatch.
Then
it's the hatch from Lost.
So then he wakes up in Traveler's Town. I thought they get attacked by
when
something.
They open it up, they get attacked. And it's all like. Down. Okay.
Okay. All right. So he opens this door. They get attacked, and then he goes through the door.
They all get sucked through. It's like he's abandoned. It's like
I don't understand who's getting sucked through what.
His three friends all get sucked through.
All the friends, like the world, the portal opens. Bad guys come out. They're fighting them. Then like everything goes black, and he wakes up in Traveler's Town. Okay. It's just like the world. They got sucked into different parts of the dimension. They got sucked into a black hole.
All right.
Is Traveler's Town like a hub world?
In game terms, yes.
Okay.
That's where all the Final Fantasy characters are. Like Cid, and you can buy your cool shop stuff, and then the Muggles.
Isn't there a ship made out of gummy bears or something?
Don't even get in the gummy. Yes. They travel. Yes. So the way they can travel from world to world without getting sucked into black holes all the time
is
the Final Fantasy characters.
Does Cid help you out?
Has designed a ship that can travel through dimensions.
Cid's always there with you. Your boy Cid.
Okay. All right. So.
What gets them on the... So they're looking for a friend.
What gets them on the journey is my question. Okay, so he's separate. So he wakes up in this new town, and he has a keyblade in his hand.
Can't wipe with it. Can't pee with it. No matter where he goes, it's in his hand. Stuck in his hand forever.
Let me walk you through what the beginning of the story looks like in the game.
All right.
All right, Will. Is a bunch of young children in this fantastical paradise island.
Mm-hmm.
And they dream, is there something in the outside world? They're like, oh, we've been here so long. It's so wonderful here. We should never leave. They're like,
just coconuts,
there must be more.
Pina coladas
there
all
must
day.
Be more out there. And then they decide, which maybe a little detail I missed, they decide that the way you dramatize that they want to leave is that they're like, maybe we should build a raft and go see what's out there. Maybe we don't need to leave this world, but let's go see what's beyond the horizon.
Okay.
And then, as is happening throughout the world and why Mickey's going, darkness starts. There's like an attack on darkness, and because of that,
an attack on by darkness.
Darkness.
Bunch
attacks.
Of bad guys show up. It's just like the bad guys show up. Little weird creatures are like, "What the hell is going on?" And then that is what pushes them. Sora's like, "Maybe we should leave this island now." And they go and they open the door to escape.
Why don't they use their raft? Why then? That wasn't that they were going to use a raft.
You're going to put a raft when they're in the middle of a big battle. It's like no, there's this.
But from a story perspective, I see where Will's coming from, which is they do. It feels like you would come in and they would have they've been building the raft, or maybe it's already built. And they're scared of getting on it to go out, and there's that sort of thing. But then it's just weird to be like to set up that Chekhov's raft and be like, and then bad stuff happens, and then it feels like
so
in
then
a
they
movie
go into a door.
They would get on the raft, and then the raft would sink, and it's darkness, whatever. As opposed to them being like, shit, I guess we should just use this door in this cave that's been here the whole time.
You guys are being too literal. It's like a cave in Last Jedi or whatever. It's like it's spooky. Nobody's gonna go in there. They don't know what it is, and when they get attacked, they got no other option. And Kyrie's,
so they fall back and go into the cave.
Either go in and they open this door, and then sure enough. It is as spooky as they thought. It's a big black hole, and they all get sucked in.
Right.
Okay.
Sora appears,
and he's like, "Fuck!"
Alice in Wonderland,
so
or a million other fairy tales is not confusing. Sora appears in a new world.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And all of a sudden,
and then at first, his first thought: "Fuck! I spent too much time building a raft for nothing."
All of a sudden, he's in this new town, and these creatures, the bad guys, the darkness, the little goblins, appear. And he's like, oh shit, I'm going to get killed. And what appears in his hand? Excalibur, the keyblade, a new weapon. He's like, and he's confused. And he's overwhelmed. And he starts swinging it. And sure enough, it kills them and turns them into little hearts that float up in the sky. And he's like, what the hell is this? And then he tries to run away, and who does he bump into? He bumps into Donald and Goofy. Donald and Goofy. And they start explaining it. They're like, oh my god, what's that? You have a keyblade?
It's the keyblade.
That's the keyblade. I haven't heard of those in a long time. Maybe that's what Mickey's looking for. Maybe he's looking for you. And he's like, what's the keyblade? What is it? Like, you must be very special if you can hold it. There must be goodness in your heart.
So Donald and Goofy are like, we need to find our friend Mickey. He's like, I need to find my island raft buddy friends and tell them that we wasted our lives building this raft and go from there.
And then they're like,
let's team up.
Look, you must be important. I think Mickey's looking for you. Let's find Mickey. I wouldn't be surprised if your friends are where Mickey are. There's something crazy going
on. Does that feel like an end of a pilot episode to you?
Oh, I mean, you definitely need to get on the island and get
this is definitely an hour-long show.
No, it's not. No. This is a 20-minute kids show. There's no way you're doing hour-long
episodes.
This is CW. People kill themselves.
You would end with because your big action climax is him embracing the fact, I shouldn't be the Keyblade Master. I don't know what that means. I just want to find my friends. And Donald and Goofy would be like, there's
the
more to it than this.
The only way
to find your friends is to solve this bigger problem. King Mickey's needs to solve the world. I'm just a kid. I can't do that. And then he's about to leave, and then he sees Donald and Goofy are in trouble, and then he holds up the Keyblade. He goes, I guess I gotta do it, and he has the big fight, and he goes, welcome to the team, and then the three of them wander
cool
off on an adventure.
Okay, but here's my question. So they, Goofy and Donald know how to go between worlds? How do they go between worlds?
They go in between worlds the first... So in the game, the first problem you need to solve is, how do we go between worlds?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they find Cid and the Final Fantasy characters, and you make the gummy ship. And the gummy ship is what lets you... They went between... Donald and Goofy are in a similarly tough spot where they were searching for Mickey in the castle in their world.
And they tumbled into
the same spot Mickey must have gone into.
Okay.
I see. Because there's rifts. There's cracks in the universe, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, there's
it's the crack in the
Alice
wall.
Alice in Wonderland
world,
there's cupboards everywhere from Narnia. There are just different places that split up. And connect the world somehow.
Okay, and then how do they pick what worlds they're going to? Like, why do you go to one world and then what is there's there method to the madness? In terms
yeah,
of the
I mean,
order?
That would be right. If it was a show, it'd be like every, it's breadcrumbs. It's like the first thing they do. It's like, I don't know if it's literally as simple as this, but it's like literally like, well, the last thing we smelt when we were following, we thought was Mickey, and then the portal, and we smelt seawater. You know,
because Goofy's a
it's
dog.
Not like you went to the sea, mm-hmm. and then they go, and they're you're traveling. Because like the when you're in the gummy ship, it's like, you know, it's like Back to the Future, like where you're in like the vortex. It's like a weird
hyperspace,
and you see bubbles of different worlds.
And you're like, there's seawater on that world.
Yes, I'm gonna go there. And then when they get there, you know, you usually find something there that tracks you to Mickey, where he is.
Question of some import, both for the characters and for the show.
Yes.
To what degree are Donald and Goofy the godfathers of the Disney universe aware of the other Disney properties? Like, do they know, like, if they're like, if they smell sand, like, that must be Agrabah, like, we got to go to, you know what I mean? Like, do they know that, or are they still?
I would love it if every world they went to, Goofy greeted the main character of that world with an Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers Predator slam. Like, they have this crazy past. He's like, Aladdin, you son of a bitch. And then they just slam, and Aladdin's like, you've been pushing too many pencils, Goofy. It's just every world. You're like, Goofy has fucked so many chicks and dudes on every single planet. Like,
that'd
it's just
be
like,
so good.
He's wanted. Like, but, everywhere they go, there's another, you know, princess whose heart he's broken.
Yes.
Like, okay, so to be clear, you do bring up, I think, a good point, which is it feels like one of our Donald and Goofy need to have some knowledge of, like, the multiverse. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of three dumb fucks who have no idea what's going on, mindlessly stumbling
in
from place
to place. They know more. They definitely know more. They understand that there are different worlds. That's why they know that Mickey was like, he must be searching for.
You know what? Here's what I would say. You know how Matt is reading a book about every president, and then he never shuts up about it, and then so you and I kind of know about the presidents. I think that's what it is. I feel like Mickey has been researching with his magical sorcerer's telescope all these different worlds, and he talks to Goofy and Donald Duck about it, but they're too stupid to understand what he's talking about. So they kind of know it.
If I remember correctly, like, they literally show Queen Minnie, who's just super boring, but the way they introduce this, kind of like she talks about his research into the different.
What does she do? Oh, she's got to run the kingdom.
She runs the kingdom when they're gone. But they talk about kind of like me with painting men. She's like, oh, yeah, that's his corner where he does that weird fandangled research all the time and talks about it. And then he just disappeared. I don't know what he's doing. He's supposed to run the kingdom. So she's like, please, Goofy and Donald. And if it matters to you, Goofy, in terms of gameplay terms, Goofy is a big tank who can just take stuff and uses a shield. And Donald is a mage. It's pretty cool.
I do like the version that Will proposed where Goofy fucks.
I mean, Goofy can definitely fuck. I mean, there's no reason Goofy can't fuck.
Like, a lot.
Every episode, if you look, there's like a little kid that looks like Goofy running around somewhere in the background. And then Goofy always makes an excuse to leave the scene right after the kid shows up.
Here's one of the fun things, too. They definitely don't know all the worlds, because every time you go into a world, you get turned like to fit in. So, for example, when you go into Little Mermaid world, Sora's a mermaid.
Holy shit.
Donald is a fish and Goofy's a turtle, but with their heads and stuff. And like when Holy they go to Aladdin, shit. They're Sorry. Like wearing Aladdin clothing. And when they go to Nightmare Before Christmas.
They're wearing Aladdin clothing?
I was trying to be very careful. They're wearing clothing that fits in the movie Aladdin. And when they go to Nightmare Before Christmas, they look like Tim Burton creations. Like they always
should they
come
go to
in.
Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah.
Is that a Disney property?
Yeah. It's Disney.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They theme Haunted Mansion for it now. Wait, so question then. So when they go into photorealistic Pirates of the Caribbean, what the fuck
do they look like?
They
just look like they're normal characters.
What if it was human, though?
They should have definitely gone full on.
Hideous photoreal Goofy.
Oh, no, do you know what they do? It's like, I think Goofy has a peg leg. They turn to pirates.
Okay, so, all right. Here's to me, then, what you keep going here. So, your pilot, so you establish these three kids. They're best friends forever, right? Yeah. And then they're going to go on this adventure to go leave the island. So, and then, yes, your kind of inciting incident is they get attacked. You know, your second act is them escaping the bad guys on the island. Yeah. Your low point is, doesn't Riku, like, embrace the darkness or something?
I would say
what happens?
In terms of, like, an overall thrust, just to help explain, like, I feel like your end of your first season would be they get Mickey. Like, here would be, they get Mickey and it's like, the world is going to end if we don't stop the people who are spreading darkness, which is Organization 13, which we will not get into. But it is, there are people who are going to end the world. Yuki Blade Master must team up with me, Mickey, and we are going to fight the forces.
Mickey?
Yes, Mickey.
I thought they find Mickey at the end of the...
Yes, I'm saying this is the end of the show.
Oh, the end of the
so this builds.
Season.
I would say the end of the first season builds to Keyblade Master and Mickey. This is not just random monsters showing up. There is an organization who's trying to destroy the world
and destroy
Kingdom Hearts.
Bear with me. So, is like the, just to, I don't want to get into whatever Organization 13 is too much, but is the idea like every bad guy is part of Organization 13?
Yes, you start realizing that
it's
the
like
Disney
Jafar
villains... Jafar and... Because the Disney villains are easily manipulated by darkness, mm-hmm. and they all join. They join with Organization 13 or usually help them in some way. Some of them, like Maleficent, is actually like... Organization 13 thinks she's working with them, but she's actually so bad, she's actually got her own way that she wants to rule the world and stuff like that.
Okay, I see.
So they all got different ways to control.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're needing to be doing some of that.
Yeah, so the way you... So I say, the way you start... Yes, you don't want to just suddenly throw that all at the end. The way the game kind of starts hinting at and starts showing you what that is through Riku. Because Riku learns about it before you do. He learns about it very quickly. Like, you end up finding that out. So he is... consumed by like, oh my god, there's gotta be some way to stop this. And mm-hmm. he doesn't have any mentor. He doesn't have Mickey with him. He doesn't have friends like you do with Donald and Goofy. Mm-hmm. So he is thrust into, like, his side story is like, you don't kind of see it, you just find out. But it's like, he's thrust into a side story and he's like, oh my god, like, I can wield the Keyblade. I gotta find a way to stop this. And then he meets Organization 13 and he's kind of like, you know, Emperor Palpatine style, like, manipulated into, like, the only way to stop this is to, like, you know, embrace it and, like, be the one who's going to order to the world and all this stuff.
Okay. It's very Star Wars like.
So when you first
side,
meet him,
right?
He's like, he won't kill you, but he like casts you aside. He's like, stay out of this, or like, go back home. You don't know what's going on.
It seems like a good midpoint for the season.
Exactly. You don't know what's going on. Riku and Sora's like, oh my god, like, and he doesn't understand why Riku took Kairi, because the end of the final thing is like, the way the bad guys are trying to open up Kingdom Hearts or whatever is like, who's the most pure of spirit, right? If you're talking about like, how are you going to get Kingdom Hearts or how are you going to win, you need the most pure of spirit. It's all the Disney princesses. Yep. So ignoring that part, it doesn't even be a Disney princess. It can be all the best people in the Disney universe, whatever their gender or thing is. But Kairi is the most pure. Kairi is a great person. Mm-hmm. So he kidnaps. He when they're searching for Kairi, he does end up finding both Kairi and Riku at the same time. But the
who does?
Sora. The midpoint is he finds his two best friends.
Okay.
The twist is he finds them both at the same time because Riku has kidnapped Kairi and is going to bring it to the bad guy. So it turns from let's find Riku and Kairi to now
let's
I got to save Kairi from Riku.
Right.
So,
right.
But then he doesn't team, like, okay, we'll get to that in a second. So your main characters on this show are Sora and then Donald and Goofy.
Yes.
Like, that's your main adventure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then do you pick up new party members from World
of
the World?
So, yes, all of a sudden you are invested in the story of Belle. Because what they're doing is every place they go when they're looking for Mickey, they find a breadcrumb, and instead of just going and looking for Mickey, they always find the place in some trouble because the darkness is spreading.
Yes.
And because he's the Keyblade, he's got the responsibility to help them out, find the keyhole, and help seal the kingdom off from the darkness.
Okay, so the Keyblade can seal these portals that the darkness is getting through.
Yes. So that's what he does.
So he's got to find that portal.
Yes.
And
within each
like,
of those
but
universes.
Whoa, to this time, the portal is in Beast's heart.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And
exactly.
Then they got to go into his mindscape or something.
And when Riku finds he's like, what are you doing wasting your time sealing off the portals? Like, that's not how you're going to find Kingdom Hearts. The way to find Kingdom Hearts is open up these portals. Who cares? Darkness spreads through the world. Let it all happen, because the only goal that matters is finding Kingdom Hearts. If we find Kingdom Hearts, we can fix everything. Who cares what happens along the way? Like, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's an interesting, by the way, that's an interesting
dynamic. Sora's like, no, I got to go and I help everybody and I seal them off and I help them out. And eventually we'll find the right way to bring Kingdom Hearts.
Because that's like the bad guy is like doing like a, listen, the ultimate end justifies the mean here.
All right. Okay.
So you want to talk about the pilot? And
yeah.
Like,
so
let's talk
about
the pilot, and then let's sketch out this season, right? Because that's going to be the first thing. These TV execs always want to know what your three season plan is.
Yeah.
What's your arc? Where's this going to go?
Here's my big one question in terms of just how you start it, because it is like a very clear choice in the game. In terms of the story and like kind of the tone and theme, it's like there is no sense of like where they used to come from.
Mm-hmm.
There's no. It's not like
he was a kid in the real
world. It's not like
Where
the Wild Things Are, where he gets there. It's like you just start in the world of Where the Wild Things Are, and it's just this blissful ignorance. Like they kind of mention, like, yeah, I think back where I used to come from.
Oh, this is easy though.
but it is just like, you know, because you could do an element where it's like, is he ultimately is like kind of like your, you know, ultimate, you know, arc, like, you know, do you hint
some
that there is
thing,
a sense that Sora could get home at some point, like, you know, at the
like
end
to
of
his
five,
actual
he,
home
to his actual home
that he doesn't
or whatever
remember?
That he doesn't remember,
or
like,
maybe
is
this
something,
is all in his head and it's
like
a
is
child.
That something that, you know, every few episodes you get that moment where like he holds something and you like he has like a flash
I like
or something.
That I like teasing that out as yeah, the big juicy mystery.
Okay, because then yes you
just,
do
yeah Lost style
yeah
just
yeah.
drag it out baby and then maybe answer it later.
Here's what you do, Freddy. It's that he's in a he's this kid in a coma, mm-hmm. and he was the biggest Disney fan and the biggest JRPG fan on Earth.
Oh yeah, yeah!
Every day in the hospital, his two best friends, Riku these two best friends yeah. in the real world who are clearly Riku and Kira Knightley, Kyrie. Every day they come over and they watch a Disney movie and they play their favorite JRPGs. With their friend who's in a coma, and that's been going on in his head, and he's been trying to find the way out ever since.
So what you do is like every time he has like a flash, it's like he's like he flashes, and it's like him holding like a PS4 controller or something.
You're like, whoa, and it's live action. You're like, wait, what?
So it's like a Lego movie style.
Yeah.
Wait, that's pretty dope, actually.
So that's the end of the 5-season arc,
and that's why the dream starts to slowly not make any more sense. Dense and kind. It's like you would literally do like it's just you would do in like season 4, like it's just getting so complicated and so nonsensical and bizarre, and they're like, don't you understand, reality itself is breaking down, something's wrong, if we don't get him out of this coma he's never coming back,
and then he just dies
and he has to make the choice in
he has
the
to make
end.
The choice at the end
yeah to, whether or not
to whether or not to be in a coma.
Well no, but he doesn't know that, right? He has to make the choice between whether or not, you know, to rejoin the real world
mm-hmm.
or stay here in this fantasy world, and it's like, we'll always remember you, it's like, I'll always remember you, and it's like fucking really intense, you know.
Yeah. So probably in terms of Sora, I think what I like is I would do it as Kairi's this good-hearted person who, you know, believes in doing the right thing, and Riku is this guy who nothing, like, where they are is not good enough. Like, he's the one who wants to go and see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Sora, I think the way you play it is, like, I think Sora is not necessarily scared, but he's safe and comfortable. He likes this Paradise Island. He likes
yes.
being the little brother of Riku.
Mm-hmm.
He likes being the friend of Kairi, but he's not mm-hmm. going to go any further than that. He's not going to take a risk and tell her how he really feels. It's
risk
like,
averse.
Yes, it's yes. this limbo.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they've talked about and they made the raft, but they actually haven't gone on it.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a reason why there's literally this like magic portal that him and Kairi like, you know, sneaked out to, and like, you know, they like hang out in this like cave. But, and, you know, Kairi would be like, maybe we should open up the door. And so I was like, why? Like, you know, who knows what's out there? I don't want to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
So what's Kyrie's deal? She's like, so she's just nice?
She's just nice.
Right,
she's
we have to spruce that
yeah,
up
we
a little
spruce
bit.
That up. Like, what that?
Okay.
That.
all right. But I like that dynamic. And yeah, for a classic hero's journey thing, it's like Luke Skywalker's filled with self-doubt, right?
Yes.
So it's like, yes, that, you know, he, it's like, again, and especially if we're going to hint from the very beginning at the coma ending. You do mm-hmm. that, like, he's in this safe world and something bad happened.
Yeah.
All he knows is that something bad happened before he got to this island, right?
Yes.
So that's why he doesn't want to go.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
It's comfortable.
He doesn't have to go back out and face the world again.
Yeah, yeah. He's a kid. It's comfortable here. He's
yeah.
got his two best friends are with him.
Yeah.
Like, why would he ever want to leave?
Yes.
And
he doesn't make a choice like most kids. He doesn't make a choice to leave. To leave childhood, he's essentially forced into
yes,
it.
Yes, this crazy thing happens.
Yes,
yeah.
Darkness comes, and then they're forced to enter the portal that he was never willing to go to, and he loses his friends, and then he's given this great responsibility.
Yes,
where he's the one person who can face darkness
yes.
right now, and then he's got his two friends, and you have the lovable Goofy, who's the opposite of Sora. Goofy like will throw; he's literally the tank. He'll throw himself into any situation to save his best friend. He's an adventurer,
mm-hmm.
and then Donald is like. Is just like an angry asshole, like a goofball, but also like good-hearted and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got this like dynamic.
Well, you would do if they're like again his id Nego or whatever,
yeah.
or like again like the if they're reflections of himself. That yeah, you know, Goofy represents bravery, and
yeah.
you know, Donald represents fear, right,
yes,
or
yes.
something like that.
Yeah, I think
is Donald like
way.
A scaredy cat or anything like that?
He's not really scaredy.
He's just grouchy.
Cat. He's just grouchy.
Okay, so yeah,
Donald represents
aggressive.
Grouchy,
aggressive, aggro. Yeah,
yeah
he's got
he's
that
very
big
aggro.
Duck
he's anger.
He's got that big duck energy.
Yeah, he's got big duck energy. So then they're convinced, and he's like, "We need your help. Yes, you want to find your friends. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
We'll help you, but we need to find Mickey, the king of this world that you just showed up with, and you're the only one who can help because you have the keyblade. It's going to be dangerous, but it's important." And Sora, the one thing he does love is he loves his friends. He's like, okay, I'll
do it. I'll do the scary thing
I'll
because
scary
my
thing.
Friends are in danger.
Yes.
And Kira, Kyrie always told me to be a good person.
Yes.
And I'll do it for her. Yeah. Okay. And then he's like, we're going to Kingdom Hearts.
We're going to Kingdom Hearts. And that's your pilot.
All right. So then that's your pilot. So then episode two is like your Mos Eisley Space Cantina episode where it's Traveler's Town. And they're like, if we're going to go, we need a ship. And so they go to, they meet the Final Fantasy VII characters.
Yes.
And it's like, oh shit, it's all my favorites from Final Fantasy. And he's got to go on some adventure to help them. And then the end of that is probably they get the gummy ship, and now they're going to go off.
Yes, I think that's there's a portal in Traveler's Town to, I forget what the first level is.
That's great, because that gives you that classic second episode thing where the characters are always re-explaining the premise because maybe people missed the first episode. So it's like, he's like, remind me what we're doing here again. Oh, don't you know, Sora, we've got to find a ship to go explore the world to get your friends. Yeah. That's right. I already knew that.
We need to go to the ocean. They're like, how do we get to the ocean? This Little Mermaid town. And they're like, let's go talk to this. Oh, I got a ship that could do it. It's like, great, tell us how we want that ship. They're like, I need some parts. And the only place I know where there's parts is in the magic forest of Snow White Land or whatever, which luckily there's one portal behind my fireplace or whatever. Oh, I think the first level is Alice in Wonderland, and it's literally the portal is in the fireplace.
How trippy is it that the thing starts and it's like, it's an Alice in Wonderland like tumble. Where are we going after this? Alice in Wonderland.
So basically, just in terms of now sketching out the arc, because now I get it, right? So they're following breadcrumbs trying to find Mickey.
Yes.
Along the way, they're learning valuable lessons about what it means to be a hero and like why we should do the right thing and don't be a creepy jerk to Belle Beast. Like, you know, it's a kid's show where there's like a morality tale, right? And like the darkness is always an allegory for like some way that someone's being mean to their friend or someone got their feelings hurt and you're learning. You got to fight them. You get the action with the bonk and then with the keyblade, but it's also ultimately about learning to be an empathetic person and learning to be
brave.
And the
hints along the way is Sora being like, where did I come from? What's my home? The other hints are like, where is Mickey? What is he actually doing? There seems to be more darkness in this than I originally thought, you know?
Here's what I got. I got one for you. Okay. If you want to talk about pitching some episodes, you do a double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Beauty and the Beast, right? Mm-hmm. And Beast is like fucking just being a big old jerk, right? And everyone's like, what's going on with Beast? And they're like, but this is so weird. We can't find the hole anywhere. And then they're like, this is weird. It's like my Donald's like, my magic says it's in him somewhere, right? They're like, all right, we got to go into Beast.
Uh-huh.
Fucking Inside Out.
Whoa.
Boom. Inside Out, up in Beast, right? And then they got to go team up with the characters from Inside Out and then go find Beast's memories. It's like an Inception. Like it's a Disney turducken, baby.
That's good. Inside Out and the Beast is very good.
Yes, right?
Yes, and then your midpoint, you know, assuming how many episodes. But, if you're going to build to a midpoint, I think the midpoint is, and I think it's literally this, is like they've lost the track trail of Mickey, but they know where like Kyrie is or something.
And they get along the way. I think he's seeing traces of his friends.
Yes,
like they're like, oh, we met Kyrie. She was here with this other guy. And he's like, who's this bad dude she's with? Like, what's going on? And it's like, oh shit, that bad dude is Riku.
Yes. And the way you do it is that I think, you know, they get the first, leading up to the midpoint, you start. You're tracking Mickey, you're kind of understanding the world, you're also doing, there is clearly something more than just the portal's weakening, because there are these hooded figures, one of which essentially is embodied by one hooded figure that keeps showing up and fighting you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that ends up being Riku. Mm-hmm. But you're like, there's more than just, it's not just like the walls are slowly dissipating, somebody is actively doing this. Who
Someone is
it?
Tearing the reality of space-time
on
apart.
Purpose. That must be what Mickey was going after.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? And then they find out who it is, and it's not actually the person who's doing it. It's a different twist. It is Riku, and Riku is following you to find Kyrie also, because he needs Kyrie, because he needs the heart of a princess.
Oh, so he and Kyrie aren't together.
Not yet.
Okay.
You essentially find Kyrie, and your midpoint is you find Kyrie and Riku at the same time. Riku was following you to get Kyrie. You find Kyrie, and little do you know, you brought Riku, who's now
What was Kyrie up to? Where's Kyrie?
Kyrie was the same thing, searching for you. Like, she was just on her own journey as well.
Cool, cool, cool.
She doesn't get Donald and Goofy, though. She's just by herself.
Does she get any lesser?
She's
Disney
by herself
characters?
Without a keyblade.
That seems like a, the world. That's hard
she's
mode.
She's playing on hard mode.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually be cool, because they did an arc on Avatar where Appa gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did like a, so they don't have Appa, their big flying buffalo.
Yeah.
And then they did a couple episodes from Appa's perspective.
That'd be cool to do with like Kyrie.
Yeah, so yeah, you would do a Kyrie episode, like would be cool. Or you do a Riku episode. Like both of those would be interesting, like offshoots.
And the way you do that, twist is like Kyrie's like, oh my god, Sora, I think I found you. He's like, I've been looking for you. She's like, yeah, well, I've been getting to business and I found out something really important.
Yeah.
Blah, and then who's this? The hooded figure shows up and oh my god, he got Kyrie. Who is it? He lifts up the hood. It's Riku. And Riku's like, don't look at me like that, Sora. You don't understand what I'm doing. Go back home. I'm the one that's gonna save the world. He's like, no, this isn't the way to do it. And now it's like, oh shit, we gotta save Kairi from Riku. Okay. And Riku is working for somebody. Who is this? And then your second half of the season is, I mean, not even second half, it's like a 2/3 of the way through the season turn, if anything.
Okay, and then where does this all build to?
This builds to, it's like the big, I mean, it builds to the big battle where they find out, you find out who the actual hooded figure is. So we, okay. So to try to explain a little, what you find, because what you end with is realizing there are people, it's not this hooded figure who is Riku, there are people who are trying to tear apart the universe essentially in order to get to Kingdom Hearts.
And what, is, why do or, they want to get to Kingdom Hearts?
Because then they would rule all of light and good and dark. I mean, they would rule everything.
Okay, for abstract villain reasons.
Yes, abstract villain
power.
Reasons. Yes. I think when you start getting into it, is literally they are doing it to earn their own souls back because they are called nothings with no hearts left in them.
Whoa. Yeah,
so there's like other stuff to do with them for sure as you would keep going. But yes, they just are in charge.
Okay.
You get there and you realize that the
get,
way.
They get where?
You. I think it's called the end of the world or whatever. You get to some, they get to a new kingdom, which is where Mickey supposedly was. And then you get there, you get to this end point to find Mickey. And who do you find there? You find Riku again, and you realize that Riku's been consumed by the big bads. And then Mickey shows up, and you guys have this big fight. So what happens at the end is that they literally open up the portal. They do open up the portal to find where Kingdom Hearts is. That's what the bad guys were doing along the way. That's what they were searching for. They were searching for a way to get into Kingdom Hearts. And when they open it up,
okay, I'm just getting a nosebleed again, but keep going.
When they open it up, it's like there's like, anyways, when they open it up, there's like a moment where Kingdom Hearts is like too powerful for them, and they have a second, and Riku stays behind in the realm of darkness to close the door from the other side to lock up Kingdom Hearts again, but he's lost now in the other world.
So the opening the door to Kingdom Hearts is a bad thing.
It's like a bad, it's like you know, opening up the like the
but I thought Kingdom Hearts was a good thing.
Think about it in the terms of like opening up like the Holy Grail or something.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Ark of the Covenant, there we go. Okay. It's just it's more powerful than they thought, like when they open it. Because it's literally it's like God has like contained himself into a tiny bubble to protect itself. They open it up and it just causes this big thing of light that like attacks the bad guys, and they're like, and before they can actually go in and conquer Kingdom, before they can go in and like go into heaven, Riku slams the door shut and locks himself inside.
Before the bad guys can go into
before
heaven.
The bad guys can go in.
Oh, so they, Riku does this to stop the bad guys from getting
yes,
in.
He does
not
like a
to
self,
stop Kingdom Hearts from getting out.
Yes, he does right. a self-sacrifice at the end.
Okay.
And then the second game ends
for,
up,
hey,
the second game ends up being like, again, you and Mickey now know that these bad guys are searching for a way into Kingdom Hearts.
But now
you're
you
doing
with,
that, but you're also
Mickey,
looking for.
And then it's a split. It's a split season because you got Donald and the other side, right?
And you're also finding a way to hopefully save Riku, who's like trapped.
Okay, so I'm missing like a human element. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm missing something to ground it a little bit. And I feel like it's got to be with something to do with Kairi and Sora. Like this thing just doesn't have it. Just I feel like I'm so off in this abstract world of light and darkness and all this other bullshit. Because again, when this first clicked for me was when you said to me, this is a kid growing up, right?
Yes.
Like this is, you're in this Eden of childhood, and then you're taking this step into adulthood, and then you're learning these adult problems and stuff like that.
Yes.
And what bums me out about everything you just laid out to me is that it feels like Sora doesn't do anything interesting in this story.
That's fair.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's like the Riku has this big play of the game moment at the end when he closes the door. But like, what is Sora up to? Like, what does Sora learn? And like, I'm also like, I'm kind of like, if I'm being an executive, I'm putting my executive hat on. I'm not really vibing that there isn't a real girl character on this show for the bulk of it, right? Like, and then the one girl character is more or less a damsel in distress. That's kind of weak. So
yes,
like,
absolutely.
I'm like, is there something we can do to fix that? Is my question. There's part of me like, can Kairi be on the adventure with Sora?
Yeah,
does
it feels
she
like
have,
you gotta
does he have
get
to
her.
Fucking find her like halfway through? Like, I know it's tough because I understand what you're saying. Like with this midpoint thing.
No, I think
you
could because what I would do, the way you would do that,
I feel like it needs to be a two. It can't just be a kid and two goofballs.
I mean, it would be similar to like in some ways when they do it right, it'd be a little bit similar to like she like as it's not really portrayed in the game, but kind of Sheik and Link because what it is like they you need both of them. So
right.
Zelda, in order to protect herself, is pretending to be Sheik.
Mm-hmm.
But like they both, like you need both the Triforces to fight Ganon.
Yeah.
So in the same way, it would be like he has the Keyblade, she's got the pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they need to go do this.
Yes.
And you for Kairi, it would be like her arc would be like corruption, right? Seduction. It would be like she's right. If her power is like, it's like, really, my power is like, I gotta be good all the time. Like, that's, but like, if, right, if she's tempted, it'd be like, if she does something wrong or she betrays, it's like, then they've lost it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if Sora is like about courage or like purity or whatever, it's like, again, you have that moment where like he can't use the Keyblade and she goes, you know, she's angry at Riku, you know, she does something wrong or she's angry at Sora, or Sora does something wrong and she fights back, and then it's like they get there and then her heart doesn't work or something like that. She's got to learn why.
Oh, so the two of them together have to close the portal,
I would say,
or something like that?
Yeah, you could do something
or you
like
give
that.
Her some power or something.
Yeah, because her
has.
Heart is a MacGuffin. Like, her heart is in the same way that the Keyblade is a MacGuffin. So, yeah, just have her along it and have, yeah, you have a moment where Riku, then they realize that this hooded figure is not trying to stop them. The hooded figure is trying to take Kairi. And then
okay, at least they're like, I'm understanding, like, you have a dynamic between these two characters on this adventure, right? And then there's the kind of push and pull of, like, do we go try to find Mickey, or do we, you know, stay and help whatever's going on? Yeah. And then you can find them on different sides.
Yes, I like the idea that, like, Sora is literally the weapon, and she's, like, the mind, and it's, like, you could have, like, or, like, the consciousness.
Can we give her, like, magic or something she can do?
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
I mean, give her,
again, it's, like, it's also, like, that fucking, like, heart on Captain Planet. You're, like, great.
Yeah, yeah, but I would do it, but in the same way, I would say, like, he has the Keyblade. So in the same way that, like, so I would do it similar. And what I like is, yes, they might get to a situation and, like, Sora's like, look, like, we can't really help here. I gotta take my Keyblade and go help, and we gotta go find Mickey. And she's like, no, we should definitely stay here and do this. And other times it might be the other way around, where she's like, this person's not good enough, like, we can't help them. Or he's like, no, if we help them, though, we'll get what we need or whatever. Like, they're on different.
Yeah, so you would do, like, she is an idealist. Like, yes. She always looks for the good in people.
Yes.
And you are gonna see along those adventures that sometimes when people let her down, it's gonna, again, like, it's, can she hold on to that idealism, which is her core, core strength, her core power, like this belief in the fundamental good of humanity in a world that often betrays that.
And that's hard
down.
To do. And that's
and
what
then
she
that's,
needs.
Well, that's also going to be the thing that the your big turning point is with Riku, when she discovers that Riku has been working with the bad guys and all of this stuff. She loses touch with her power.
Oh, and
that'd
be the good twist, that Riku brings her to use her, but she's lost her power because his betrayal.
Yes, I like that a lot. Like, okay, that's good too, because then at least there it's like, you know, like, and it's not just like she is this MacGuffin that's being carted around. Like, she has her own, like, that is her. Again, it's like in Avatar when she winds up with the fireman.
And what you do is with, well, what you do with that is, like, in that turn, it'd be like Sora, who's, you know, was insecure and now has become brave, couldn't protect Donald, Goofy, and Kairi, and now he feels like nothing.
Yes.
And then his ability to be brave and courageous and go on this, like, mission to save her is then also, like, his actions gives her optimism again, and together the both of them essentially have reinforced each other.
Exactly.
And they find each other again.
She needs to draw on his bravery in the
finale,
and then his you know, at his low point after he's failed, it's going to be realized, you know, really remembering,
and he remembers who he is again.
Yeah, he loves her, and then he also was like, again, he sees the world the way she sees it, where he sees the beauty of it, and then he's like, this world is worth fighting for. I got to step up.
And Riku sees the power of his two best friends and sees that him as the mentor is actually the one who learns from them, and then closes the door to.
And he's like, hey, I always thought, you know, I was the one showing you two kids the ropes, but you guys really showed me. And they're like, Riku, no,
no, Riku,
like,
what are you doing?
And he closes the door. Yeah.
And then Mickey's like, run, find us,
fly,
go,
you
find
fools,
us, fly, you fools,
fly, you fools,
doors, and then Organization 13 is watching them from afar, and they're like,
good.
Yep, there it is.
All right, there it is.
That
good.
Is Kingdom Hearts, everybody. When we come back, a very special elevator pitch.
And rolling. The news today is terrible, so why not forget about it while listening to Jonah Radio with Cash Hartzell.
Hey, everybody.
Featuring Neil Mahoney.
Also me.
This is a podcast where we play music submitted by a listener. We hang out, we listen to new tunes, and we take submissions at JonahRadio, RAYDIO, @gmail.com. Come and check us out. We're here anyway.
Yeah, we'll be here.
So, and that's it. Back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Okay, so it's been about 3 minutes on this gummy ship. Oh, one sec. Boom, boom, boom. Shoot, shoot, shoot. Wow, so fun. Shoot, shoot, shoot. All right, so, Will, we're probably about another 14 minutes away, if this is anything like the game, and eventually we'll get to the pitch. Wait, let me try to fast forward here. And, all right, we've arrived at the end of the world.
Yeah, guys, so Matt and I hopped in the gummy ship, and we've been trying to track down Mickey Mouse to pitch him our idea for a TV show based on Kingdom Hearts. So here we go. This place looks pretty spooky. I don't see Mickey anywhere, but maybe someone will come along that we can pitch this movie to.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Hello?
Hello. We are the darkness. Go ahead.
The darkness?
Yes.
We are the darkness. I'm having a little trouble adjusting to the light. Are you by any chance the British rock band The Darkness?
Yes.
Is that where this was going? Do you...
Yes.
Sniff out the goof?
My name is Justin Hawkins, lead singer and guitarist for The Darkness, the band. We were told that we were going to get pitched something today.
Well, I don't know quite
we're
why
from
The Dark...
Suffolk, England, Britain. We had a hit song.
What were some of your other songs, The Darkness?
Believe in a Thing Called Love, in that.
Well, speaking of belief... Speaking of believing in a thing called love,
yeah.
We are here today to pitch you the Kingdom Hearts TV show. So,
all right.
This is a classic TV show about a group of kids on a journey, going through all sorts of different wonderful lands, learning lessons about life and love and being a friend and bravery and optimism and what we need to do to make the world a better place. But here's the twist. Every episode, these journeyers, these travelers are going to a different Disney IP. They're going to a different Disney world. One week, they're helping out Belle from Beauty and the Beast. The next week, they're having an adventure with Aladdin and Agrabah.
Oh, I like that one.
So these kids are Sora, Kairi, and Riku, and they are living in this Eden-esque world, like this little sort of peaceful island. Sora doesn't none of them remember where they came from. Sora thinks, you know, he's here because something bad happened, and he doesn't remember, and he doesn't want to go back. But Riku, the cool, cocky leader of the team, is like, we need to go find out what's out there in this world. And just as they're building this raft, sure enough, they get attacked by evil, dark, goblinoid creatures. Matt, help me out with what they're called.
The Heartless.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for matching my energy to keep this pitch going.
Sorry, I was trying to keep going.
They run off. Our heroes flee from the darkness, these little goblinoids, into...
Us.
Other little gods. They go into this portal, and they wind up in Traveler's Town, this hub between the many, many worlds that the universe is fractured into. Our main character, Sora, winds up with this mysterious sword in his arm called the Keyblade. That is the key secret to opening and closing all of these portals across the world. And who does he find in Traveler's Town as he's looking for his friends? Why, it's our best buds, Goofy and Donald Duck from Disney, etc., of course. And the three of them team up to go on an adventure. They're looking for Mickey, who ran off to see what was going on with all this darkness stuff. And so they've been trying to hop from world to world, finding their lost King Mickey. And they're like, hey, you're the Keyblade guy. You're the chosen one. You've got to come with us on this adventure. And he's like, I don't want to go because, like, I'm a teen and I doubt myself. But then they're like, your friends might be where Mickey is. He's like, oh, shit, I got to be a good dude for my friends. So, you know, he teams up with, they find Kiari and they go from world to world. You know, he's like this headstrong, brave dude who's trying to find their buddy Riku. She's like a plucky idealist who's going to have her naive view of the world challenged. But then she's still going to be trying to hold on to what makes her a good person. And together, they're going to discover that their best bud Riku has been working with the bad guys who are trying to unleash the darkness on this world to unlock something called Kingdom Hearts, which is a moon-shaped heaven trapped in a hellbone. And if the bad guys do that, it'll be real bad. And, you know, there's like a whole showdown at the end, and they all learn lessons about friendship and stuff. And that's kind of the show.
And the hub in Traveler's Town, by the way, the London Astoria is there. And that's actually where they, every week, between every episode, they go to Astoria, and they check out the latest hit single from The Darkness.
Hey.
You guys. Justin, Dan, your brother, and Frankie, and Rufus.
So I take it you want to license our song.
Oh, definitely.
I Believe in a Thing Called Love. But can I interest you in the 2006 MTV Australia's Best Man Rock Video Award winning One Way Ticket, perhaps?
Sure, yeah, whatever gets
this was very confusing for me. However, I like where this is going. I tentatively allow you to use our song. It's me, Justin Hawkins from The
Okay,
Darkness.
Well, thanks, Justin.
Okay.
I'm do you have a validate word. For our gummy ship? Is there a way for us to get off of this, the end of the world? Do you know how you got here? We're still trying to figure this out.
Absolutely not.
Okay, well.
All right, well, that was great. That was a good bit.
Justin
everybody.
Has joined the party, and we're sailing off in our gummy ship to go figure out how to get back to the Story Break podcast.
Hey, guys, I think I booked the wrong The Darkness.
What's weird is that we went to the right place. We went to the end of the world.
All right. Well, that's the episode, guys. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to our many, many fans for continuing to support our nonsense. And,
we do have so many fans.
We do have many fans. And a special thank you to the ones who submitted some awesome fan art this week, such as William Jordan, who sent us a really cool, super sad Kool-Aid poster featuring a busted up Kool-Aid man slowly leaking out. That good red juice onto the floor.
Little gross.
Nice job on like this 3D modeled Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
man.
That actually kind of blew me away that someone took the time to like Z sculpt 3D Kool-Aid.
Very cool. So thank you very much to William Jordan. Thanks as well to our cool friend Albino Penguin for sending us an amazing scene from the Lord of the Rings version of Kool-Aid Man. I cannot believe I haven't seen this before, but it's basically that big explodey orc guy diving into Helm's Deep and blowing it up, but it's Kool-Aid Man. It's very good. So thanks to Albino Penguin for that. We got a really cool piece of fan art for our ARMS TV show from AKA Drawboy, Mr. Miguel Art. He did as just like it's from the season finale of the show. It's like it literally looks like a frame from like a really badass anime.
It's a still frame from an anime.
It's very, very, very cool. So please go to our Twitter and check that out. Shouts out to Nick Kronick as well for sending in another Rochambeau poster with the tagline, "She will rock you." Very classic, simple, iconic poster from Nick. So thank you, Nick. Finally, thanks to Roxy Stokes for sending in some Scissor Samurai fan art. So muchas gracias to Roxy. All right, guys, I think that's it for fan art this week.
Thank you also to MaximumFun.org for having us on their podcast network, and Cameron Covell for chopping up these episodes. So until next week, hope everybody's
chopping them sods.
Hope everyone's having a good July so far. Keep cool out there. Until next week, keep
hot.
That's it. Keep hot.
Keep hot, baby.
Hello, I'm Carrie Poppy.
And I'm Ross Blotcher, hosts of MaximumFun.org's Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
We wanted to tell you the good news that our podcast is now weekly.
Yeah, weekly. On Oh No, Ross and Carrie, we don't make extraordinary claims. We investigate them.
We go undercover with fringe religious groups, investigate paranormal claims, and participate in pseudoscientific medical treatments and report our findings to you.
In a time where alternative facts reign supreme, we cut through the murky spin to give you the real deal on topics like UFOs, the anti-vaccination movement, Scientology, and even apocalyptic churches.
We're even undercover for some very exciting investigations right now.
Well, not right now, right now.
Yeah, that would be unwise.
That's Oh No, Ross and Carrie at MaximumFun.org.